Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon.
So we are going to look at worship for the whole month of September and learn worship from Scripture, not from what we've heard, not from what we know, but from Scripture, so that we can align our worship well and we can experience God in our worship better. Is that okay? So today I'm speaking on worship defined. Worship defined. Let's open to Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1 to 5. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us this morning. Your presence is all over. Your power is present. We ask that you teach us by your Holy Spirit and glorify yourself. Help us to relate with you the way you've called us to. And help us to see you as you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. It's not every mountain you should go to, there's a specific mountain. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and please say it louder. We'll go yonder and we will come back to you. Let's read Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Worship is essential because it is what we do in church. We want to understand what it is and do it the way God wants it. Now, that word worship was first used by none other than Father Abraham. In fact, in Genesis 22, that is the first time that word is ever being used. It's interesting. And it is not God saying, come and worship me. It is Abraham saying, I am going to worship. I am going to worship. It should be the disposition of your heart when you are coming to God. I am going to worship. I am going to worship. If you look at the word shakal in the Hebrew, it means to depress, bring yourself low, to prostrate in homage to a royalty. It's to bow yourself down, fall down, crouch before somebody, to do obeisance. You see, worship is really lowering yourself before somebody you consider to be higher. Lowering yourself in intention and action. Someone say intention and action to somebody of a higher disposition than you. So it means when you're coming to worship, your intention is that this person I'm coming to worship is bigger than me. Are you here? And then your action too should go with it. It is an intention and it is an action. Because you can do the actions without the intention. Are you here? That if we are dancing, everybody is dancing. If we are praising, everybody is praising. If somebody is doing something, you do it with the person, but without the intention, it cannot be worship. Say, God is bigger than me. Worship also shows that you accept that the object of your worship is bigger than you. Because you can know he's bigger than you and not accept it, and you will not worship. Like you have a boss who is your boss, but you don't like him as your boss. You know he's your boss, but you won't relate to him like a boss. Even though in reality, he is your boss. And sometimes you want to instruct your boss, but he's your boss. God is God. And when we come to him, he is God. He is bigger than us. He is greater than us. As a Christian, God is the subject of your worship. God is the center of your worship. So in intention and in action, we display that God is bigger. Say, God is bigger. The first time the word is also used in the New Testament is in the scripture we read in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2. Now, when you look at the word there, proskuneo, it means to prostrate again, but it means also to kiss. Yeah. When you are worshiping, it means to kiss. But it's not kiss the way human beings kiss. What you have been watching on TV? What husband and wife do? It's not like that. The kiss he's talking about is actually the way a dog kisses. How does a dog kiss? Thank you. When you have it, I have a Doberman at home. I got it as a gift. Now, at some point, feeding it became a challenge, but we try. But even though sometimes I'm not able to feed it, when it sees me even without food and I come around it, it starts to lick my hand. It's happy to see me. It wants to be around me. When I get to the gate, it starts barking. When I open the gate, it's waiting for me. When you enter, it's at the door of the car. When you come out, have you seen how dogs behave? That's why they say the dog is man's best friend. It's like it always wants to be around. The moment I come out of the door, it's there. And all it wants to do is, I get very uncomfortable with the way the dog likes licking and all. I get very uncomfortable. But I realized actually there is bacteria in the mouth that make it one of the cleanest tongues you ever encounter. Yes, that when they lick you, it's not going to have any effect on you. The idea when it comes to worship from the New Testament word is to acknowledge you have a master that you absolutely depend on, that is above all and in all, that without the master you will not eat. Are you here? Without the master, you will not live long. Without the master, you will not drink water. That word is like the way a dog relates with his master. It licks. That is why sometimes when you relate with God, God has to put you in your place before he can bless you. Because sometimes we come to God and we already begin to relate with God as if we are bigger than him. Or we are on the same level as him. But when you understand that God is bigger and you are relating with him, you are the low one, very low. And he is the God. He is the master. That's what worship is. Say, God is master. It shows you absolutely depend on him. Now, in Genesis, Abraham is talking about, we see the test that God gives Abraham where he's finally been blessed with Isaac and he's got the beloved son he wanted from Sarah. And now God comes and says, the son that you've been given, give him back to me. Give him back to me. And so Abraham wakes up early in the morning without question, without asking anything, starts to prepare everything, including his son. And as he is going, he goes with his servants who will help him with the stuff. But at some point, leaves the servants behind and continues with the items, the wood, the fire, all these things. And as he's going, he tells them, stay behind. My son and I are going to meet with God and we are going to lower ourselves. I'm going to meet with God and I'm going to lower myself. By definition, Abraham is saying, I'm going to prostrate before God. We can't immediately deduce what was in his mind. It's not in the scripture. But probably it could have been, I'm going to beg God. It could have been, I'm going to say, God, whatever you say I will do, you are bigger than me. It could have been, God, I don't know what to do about this situation. I'm leaving it in your hands. It could have been any of these things. But when it comes to worship, we come and we lower ourselves because God is bigger. Because God is bigger. God is bigger. God is not your meat. God was not born in your house. God didn't go to the school that you went to. God was there before you were a thought. Do you know what I mean by you were a thought? When your parents were in primary and they were saying, I want 3 children when I grow up. Before your parents thought about it, he was already God. He existed before time. Existed before existence. Existence means things are existing. He existed before existence. He is the reason for existence. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the one who stands when you finish time. He is the one who made sure every vein has their root. He is the one who made sure that every nerve has a path and they don't cross. He is the one who calculated the mixture of your blood. He is the one who numbered the hairs on your head. He is the one who deduced that your nose should look the way it does. Say, God is bigger. Say, God is bigger. He is the one who orders your steps without you realizing he's ordering your steps. Are you here, somebody? He is the one who calls people, and if you don't answer, he will call somebody else. He's the one who can use people, and when he's using you, you will not even know that he's using you. He is the one who creates beings which have all the instruments in them. You can think you are a Lucifer, but there is God. It's because he sees that God is God. He is the God who gave me the son. And he's bigger than me. Without him, I would not have the son. He asked for the son. I must present the son to him. Are you here, somebody? So there has to be, first of all, a certain knowledge of God. There has to be an understanding of who God is if we are going to worship him well. And that's why we come to church. That's why we have fellowship. Because when you relate with God, when you have understanding of God, your relation with God is better. Many of us don't relate with God the way we should because maybe we don't understand God well enough. And I pray that you understand God very well. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. This is what was in Abraham's mind when God made the request. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. This is what he understood about God. That is how Isaac came. So because he had this understanding, even when God says, bring Isaac back, he is willing to bring Isaac back because he is still able to raise him from the dead. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? There has to be a certain understanding of God. It's difficult to worship when you don't know. Look, like when it comes to marriage, for instance, and a lot of men are shouting about submit. Women are supposed to submit, submit, submit. And they are shouting it everywhere. The Bible says submit, I agree. But it's not easy to submit to somebody you don't know. It's not easy to submit to somebody who doesn't make sense to you. It's very difficult to submit to somebody that you cannot see clearly. This person has something I don't have. Men, are you there? If we submit to God, we must know, have an understanding of where God is. And if you want women to submit when you marry them, you two have level. The men are not clapping. You see that he had a certain understanding of God, and it made his worship easy. It's an act of lowering yourself. And when you see from what Abraham intended to do, he knew that I'm too low. It is that understanding that made him obey God in the first place. Because worship is obedience. If I'm going to worship God, I acknowledge that he's bigger than me. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Please, do you understand? I'm taking my time to explain. From the words alone. It's lowering yourself. So he saw that, no, God is bigger than me. I can't argue with God. I can't fight with God. What God wants is what I'm going to do. Worship is done in humility. It's lowness in the presence of God. That's why if you come to worship God, you come for worship, or you are worshiping God and you bring too much self-love, you are in trouble. Be careful that your self-love doesn't become self-worship. You are so interested in your hair, interested in how you are feeling, interested in who you are, interested in your shoe, interested in your makeup that you can't worship. It's a problem, because the issue is there should be a lowering of yourself, a humbling of yourself. In fact, there should be a forgetting of yourself. Are you following me, please? It's like Abraham could have made any argument. How can I wait for 99 years to have one child and you come and say the child should die? Any argument can be made and Abraham would have been justified. He said, no, I have to lower myself. I cannot present worship while I'm still loving myself the way I do. It's good to love yourself, but when you come to God, no, put yourself down and raise him up. Raise him up. Another thing we see is that, and please, this is just an introduction. Another thing we see is that when Abraham is going to worship, for some reason, he calls it worship and he prepares items for the worship. Are you here? He prepares items for the worship. He prepares wood. He prepares his son. He prepares fire. He prepares everything that is necessary for the worship. Worship is done with preparation. If you are coming to worship and you don't have your heart and your mind prepared, you have to have your heart and your mind prepared. Otherwise, worship becomes slow. You come to worship and it's like you can't even sing along when the songs are going on. You can't even flow when worshiping. You have to prepare your mind. And sometimes when we are coming to church, when we are coming, we have to remind ourselves, this God I'm going to is bigger than me. This God is greater than me. But for this God, I will not be alive. But for this God, I won't have the job that I have that is telling me that I'm tired, so I shouldn't come to church. If it wasn't God, are you here, somebody? It's not a prophecy. I'm saying something. If it wasn't, prepare your mind. If it wasn't God, I wouldn't have the children I have. If it wasn't God, I wouldn't be married. If it wasn't God, I won't have the blessings that I have. And because I have the blessings that I have, and they came from God, let me go back to God and give him the worship that he deserves for what he has done in my life. Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. You can't come Sunday morning and the thing that's on your mind is the movie you watched last night. Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. You can't come and worship effectively when you sleep at 2 a.m. after a party. And you are coming. It will not work. It's not easy. Prepare. Tell somebody, prepare your mind. Tell somebody, prepare your mind. But he didn't just prepare. He didn't just prepare his mind. He prepared items as well. Because worship is done with items, with giving. It's done with things. Are you here? Worship is done with yourself first. You can raise your hand. You can lift your leg. Worship is done with items. You bring an offering. It's your worship. You come and sing. It's your worship. Everything we do when we come for service is your worship. Are you here, somebody? Everything. If we say, let's give a shout, all the shouting is a worship to God. You're acknowledging that God is bigger than you. When you come and you worship, you prepare. So don't come and now think, oh, Charlie, which offering should I give to God? Prepare the offering for God. I like people, sometimes some people like to present fresh notes when they are giving it to God. Because, no. God is a big God. He's bigger than me. I should bring something fresh to him, to honor him. Hallelujah. You prepare. That's why he's saying, I'm not just going to worship. Let me go with something. Let me go with something. And so if you remember, the wise men that were coming from the east, they had met Herod and they said, we've seen a star, which was the knowledge of God they could have. We've seen a star. We are going. And when we get there, wherever he is, I want to worship him. He said, where is he? We don't know. We are looking for him. We are going to worship. Have you prepared? Yes. When they finally got to him, they bowed down and worshiped him, and they presented items to him. If you trust God to always bring an item to worship, he will give you one. I'm telling you, he will give you one. He will give you one. Don't be satisfied with coming to church and say, I don't have any offering to give to God. Even if it is one CD, bring it as your worship to God. Even if it is 50 pesos, bring it as your worship to God. It's better to come with it prepared. God, this is what I have. This is for you. I'm giving it to you to say thank you. Because you are bigger than me. Because you are bigger than me. And we worship with songs. So, the worship is not the songs, but we worship with songs. Please let me say it again. The worship is not the songs. So, we think that when we start singing, that is when we are worshiping. No. No. The singing is not the worship, because Abraham didn't sing, but he was worshiping. The wise men were not singing, but they were worshiping. We are singing. It does not mean that when they say we are going for a worship program, then you think that's all we are going to do. We are going to sing. That is not worship. You are worshiping in song. You are worshiping with song. But the worship is acknowledgement that God is bigger than you. So you can worship with your occupation. You can worship with your business. You can worship with your body. Nobody should touch your body until you are married. You can worship God with your money. You can worship God with your life. You can worship God with anything that you just acknowledge that God is bigger than you. Let me say this. Because this is one of the biggest issues God has with worship. We worship God with the items. We don't worship the items. Let me say it again. We worship God with items. If it's even instruments, all of these things are for worship. And I'm trusting God when we move to our place, we'll change all the instruments so that the youth can use this one. We'll get what we want. I'm just believing God. All these things are instruments of worship, including the microphone. It's all an instrument of, it is not the worship. It begins with your intention and with your actions. It's not just the songs. Let me move quickly. And finally, it is a service to God with no benefit to us. It's a service to God with no benefit to us. And like the analogy, the dog, you can get the dog because you want security in your house, fine. But apart from, what is the dog benefiting? You are benefiting. Please, do you understand me? When we come to worship God, we don't worship because, oh God, I want you to do something, so I'm worshiping you. No. If you want to ask God for something, ask God for something. Please, do you understand me? If you want to ask God, ask God. But when it comes to worship, we are worshiping God without the mentality of receiving anything. Abraham was going knowing that Isaac is not coming back. Please understand me. Yes, Isaac came back. We know the story. But he was going with the understanding that Isaac is not coming back. Please, the wise men did not come back with any item that they went to worship with. Please, do you understand me? When we are going to worship, it's not for our benefit. It's to ensure that God knows and we know God is bigger than us. You are God, and we worship you. You are God, and we worship. Whether I'm happy or not is not it. He is God, so I worship him as God. Whether he's giving me money or not, my worship is not about my benefit. He is God. My worship is not about my breakthrough. My breakthrough can be taken and you put it in praise. But when it comes to worship, it's because he's creator. It's because he's sustainer. It's because he's redeemer. It's because God is who he is. That is why we worship him. Not for any benefit we'll get. Am I saying we don't benefit? Not at all. When you worship God, it is when you humble yourself, he lifts you. So worship always brings breakthrough. But the start and the essence and the intent of worship is that he is bigger than me. It's not that I want to get something. Tell the person next to you, he is God and you are not. Say it one more time, he is God and you are not. Let it go. Last one. Say, he is God and you are not. Because if you can't accept that you are not, you will come like you are. You will come like you are big. You will come like you are Ogboro. But when we come to worship, lower yourself. Brawansi. Take your time and honor God as the one who brought you here. As the one who has made you who you are. As the one who has kept you. As the one who is bigger than you. Whether you are big or small. Whether you are known or not known. Whether you are happy or not happy. Because your unhappiness, I'm telling you, it could have been worse. But for God. Oh yes, it could be worse. But for God. It could be more difficult. But for God. It could be more dangerous. But for God. So this morning, I'm encouraging everybody, when we come, don't stand there as if the one leading worship is bigger than God, as if the songs are bigger than God. Don't stand there as if you are bigger than God. With your intention and with your action, worship him.
And we worship you. You are
you for listening to the Dayspring Podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you. Your kingdom come, your will be done.